The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop. Later on in the program, Rob Dawson will be joining us to discuss those explosive comments from Manchester United CEO Richard Arnold, talking about how much of a mess the club is in. But we kick things off by welcoming Frank Leboeuf and Gab Marcotti. And Gab, it's with you that we start. Romelu Lukaku looks closer to returning to Inter Milan.
That's right. There were reports of a Zoom call between Chelsea and Inter scheduled for Monday, but they've been superseded because reports are only now saying that they were talking on Sunday night already. The main sticking point seems to be the loan fee that Inter need to pay Chelsea to have Lukaku for 1 year. The issue with his wages seems to have been resolved. He's taking a 30% pay cut. And on top of that, if Inter can sign him by June 30th, which is pretty much what they need to do if they want to bring him in, they can take advantage of essentially this tax deal that was offered to Lukaku when he first moved to Italy, obviously 2 summers ago. So at this stage, it looks very, very close. And the one sticking point is it going to be 10 million euros? Is it going to be 15 million euros? What is the price for this 1 year? And let's remember, it is just a loan deal, between 1 year deal between Chelsea and Inter.
Frank, this just seems to make sense for all parties, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, because we already talked about that on the show with Craig, where maybe Lukaku didn't want to come to Chelsea, and at the end of the day, goes back to Inter, even if it's on loan. It's a big price, a big transfer price for a guy who, in fact, goes back after a year on loan. I don't know. We don't know what's gonna be the future, but it's a big failure for the club, for the player itself, and it's sad overall for the fans because the expectations were very high, and nothing happened. Hopefully, you know, he's gonna get the confidence back. What's gonna happen a year from now? We don't know. But yeah, it's. For me, quite normal that he goes back to Inter and try to get his football back.
It's exorbitant, though, isn't it? I mean, those kind of figures. We talked about it towards the end of the week for loan fees. It's just disgusting in my eyes because, you know, you're taking a player on loan, you're taking the wages, you're taking them off the wages pretty much of the other club. Not always. Sometimes there's a partial share. Sometimes a player has to take, as Gab said, a wage reduction, but you know, this is where money's just flowing out of the, you know, flowing away for certain clubs. You know, 10 to 15 million pounds, euros, whatever you want to call it, down the drain when you're giving the player back in a year's time. So I don't know if Inter. I think they will reach a deal.
Yeah,
I think it'll reach a deal that will be in Inter's favour. Because they won't have to pay so much, but they'll still have to pay because Chelsea are pretty desperate, it seems, and the players pretty desperate to get this job done. And of course, Inter need the player too. So it's a bit of a shame because I wanted to see him come back and do well in England and propel Chelsea towards challenging again. I felt he had the ability, whether he's everybody's favourite or not, I felt he had the ability to do so. But for whatever reason, football, team shape, back in London, or just the player himself, it just clearly hasn't worked and isn't going to work.
As a standalone deal, yes, 10 million as a loan fee does seem ridiculous, but we're a year removed from Inter receiving roughly, 100 million for Lukaku, for his services. And all of a sudden, they're getting him back for 10 million, or albeit for a season after they've been knocked off of their perch at the top of Serie A by their city rivals. I think from a club's perspective, even at 10 million for just a loan fee, I think Inter are happy with that deal, given the money that they got from Chelsea last year for Lukaku. But it is, to Craig, to how Frank phrased it, it's a catastrophe for player and Chelsea, given Lukaku's feelings, when I thought those two certainly would have hit it off a lot better.
So Chelsea then looking to add a new attacker to the squad with Lukaku potentially leaving, a very different player in Raheem Sterling, linked to a move from Manchester City, Gab.
Yeah, well, obviously Sterling's contract is winding down. City are in a position, it's not just him, obviously, it's Gabriel Jesus, it's Ilkay Gundogan. City are in a position where they have to decide, do we either extend his deal as he gets older, or do we sell him? And I think Raheem Sterling is somebody who's viewed as a saleable asset, like Gabriel Jesus. I think they're looking, given he's got a year left, I think they're looking at something like 50, 60 million. I think if Chelsea do this deal, it'll be interesting to see whether it's going to signal a shift away from the setup that Tuchel's been using to one where you use genuine wide players. And you can, you know, stick the Ousmane Dembele interest in there as well. There's no point bringing these people in if you're going to play narrow, if you're going to play a 3-4-2-1. So we could see an entirely new look Chelsea here.
If you were Chelsea, Frank, how hard would you push to get Sterling?
Well, if you have Sterling at his best, no doubt that it's a plus. And what kind of player are we going to Chelsea's going to get? That I don't know. But definitely, the guy is a fantastic player, and he can bring something special. That's not going to resolve the problem that Chelsea has, I think, in terms of scoring goals instead of getting the confidence back to all the players. What is not going to resolve as well is the crosses from the two wings, Reece James and I'm sorry, I forgot on the left side. But it's going to be tricky to not find somebody who can head the ball, because neither Sterling, Werner, Pulisic, or even Mount are capable of giving something special from crosses. Maybe Havertz, definitely Havertz can do so, but it's not enough in the squad. The pace of the game is going to be better for Chelsea, I think, is what Sterling can bring. But the cleverness front of the goal is not going to be the same. Or it's going to be the same for Chelsea, because he's not going to change for me. And people are so clumsy at front. Sterling is one of those players who can miss easy goal as well. So I'm not sure, you know. If we have the best of him, yes. Otherwise, it's a risk.
We just... If this deal does happen, and well, I mean, it's just speculation, Chelsea's just trying to overload themselves with all kind of similar players. You know, I know he can play pretty much across the front line, but so can Christian Pulisic, so can Hakim Ziyech to an extent, maybe not through the middle as a front man or a false nine, call it what you like. Hudson-Odoi, Mason Mount, I'm sure I've missed others out. Timo Werner obviously is more of a natural striker, but he plays predominantly on the left side. Yeah, I mean, it just adds to the five or six, probably in numbers, that they've already got. They can do similar things. Now, does he do it better than most of the others? Well, he has done recently, but he's played in a much better side, and that helps. But it won't obviously answer all the questions. It will answer maybe some of them. But yeah, this would be one piece of a jigsaw that is still missing. I would say at least three or four pieces before they're even close to City and Liverpool.
Are you surprised City see him as a saleable asset?
Well, he's got a year left and no real indication that he wants to extend, or indication that City want to offer him the kind of money that I think Raheem Sterling wants to get. And understandably so. So if you're City and that's his standoff, you have to make a decision on selling him now. And I think rightly so. As far as to your initial question about Chelsea and how hard do you push, if the numbers are right, I think you go after Raheem Sterling. But what do those right numbers actually look like? And here's the thing for me with Chelsea and this deal. Chelsea obviously trying to get themselves in the same conversation with Liverpool and Manchester City. I don't think Raheem Sterling goes to, or either of those clubs, show any interest in Raheem Sterling.
Right.
And so if you're Chelsea, while he brings that a different dimension to maybe some of the other players that Craig just mentioned, because of his pure pace and because of how you have to play up against that, I'm not sure that this is the player that you really push hard for. If it's available and he's interested and you can get the numbers to suit, well, okay, but you don't. This is not going to take up too much of your bandwidth in your summer transfer window.
That's Craig's point. You want another attacker? Well, of course, Ousmane Dembele currently out of contract at Barcelona. Speculation that he could be moving to Stamford Bridge. What's the latest here, Gab?
He's out of contract. He's being offered around Europe. Certainly, like I said, if Chelsea want to move to a slightly different setup, I think, you know, right now you look at the Chelsea squad, you're two down in terms of starting central defenders in Christensen and Rudiger. Right now, if you're going to play a back three, you've got two kids and a 37-year-old Thiago Silva back there. And nobody else. In fact, three down if you want to count if Azpilicueta doesn't end up re-signing. So I would have thought those would be priorities, and I would have thought they'd be looking to shift some of those many wingers stroke attacking midfielders that they have, from Ziyech to Pulisic to Hudson-Odoi, instead of adding to them. It's tough to discern at what point this is agent talk, intermediary talk, certainly with Lukaku leaving, I would assume that they need to look at center forwards too. And I didn't mention this, but Armando Broja is somebody that they felt did really, really well last year at Southampton. And if you're going to stick with Havertz as your center forward, I think you could certainly do well with somebody like Broja as a backup, have him take those minutes in those situations. And he does have, of course, that physical presence as well.
Do you want Dembele, Frank?
I do the Dembele from Dortmund. I do less.
Barcelona, from France 98.
I would say. Well, yes, of course, exactly the same thing. But now the thing is, he's an absolutely fantastic player. If you can have the hope of consistency coming from him, which has never been the case, you know, since he signed for Barcelona. So sometimes you see some absolutely fantastic things for like 3-4 games, then it disappears because of injury or something else. And I'm concerned about that, you know. And we talked about Sterling, we talked about Dembele. I don't know what kind of goals Chelsea has, you know, for the next season. You know, the next target could be Griezmann also. Players are all in doubt in their career. Well, I don't know. I will look for, if we talk about player playing out front, Wissam Ben Yedder, for example, or Nkunku. I don't know if they are the same prices or maybe not, but I don't know. The targets for me are, for me, what I see, only people, players, we can have doubts about their future, where we can question their ability of consistencies, whereas the two other that I named are on top of their football and maybe can bring something to that club, Was looking for another Champions League and another title in the PL.
Meanwhile, of course, over the last few days, we've been looking back at our Premier League predictions. Frank, Champions League predictions were just terrible. Every round he said Real Madrid were going to get knocked out. Every round he was wrong. And I think when you take a look at his predictions, the thing that certainly stands out is N'Golo Kante as your player of the season, Frank.
Well, that was at the beginning of the season and it was injured, but I just see that sometimes you don't want to see the nice line, that the top scorer, I'm good, that the champion, I'm good. I'm not that bad overall, you know, that's only prediction. If I knew everything about football, I would be a billionaire because I will bet every week.
Let's take a look at Shaka's predictions. You look a bit moody there, Shane.
Yeah.
City top, Chelsea United, Liverpool, Leicester, Spurs. Yeah, it's fine. It's kind of...
As my predictions go, I think those are exceptional.
Now, Gab, the most interesting thing that Gab predicted was his player of the year. Quite striking from Gab. You got it more wrong than anyone could have got it wrong, Gab.
Well, player of the year, I think is the single dumbest prediction that you can make. Unless it's like Messi and Ronaldo in their pomp, because ultimately it's a popularity contest. Now, I will freely admit that Sancho did not have a good season. But I viewed it in context. I've looked at Manchester. I had Manchester United finishing in the top four. I don't think that was a crazy prediction. When I looked at the squad and I said, how are they going to do it? Well, the only way they're going to do it is if Sancho comes up big. So I kind of doubled down, put those two predictions together. And he's not a bad player. I think he's going to come good. Just maybe not last year.
Just a reminder, it'll be the same lineup joining us for Extra Time, where the boys stay late to answer your tweets. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Interesting stuff from Richard Arnold, who is the Manchester United CEO. He was secretly recording saying this. We have spent £1 billion on players, more than anyone in Europe. I'm not thrilled with where we are, and it does not sit easily on whether we can get sorted for the future. We've blown through an enormous amount of money for this summer. The money that the manager and the director of football wants is there for the future, for investing in a new stadium and that sort of stuff, to get £250 million training ground. We have got to do something. We've got to go get investors in. Right, let's welcome for the very first time to the show to discuss this. Rob Dawson is here. You'll be familiar with his work over on the website. Very much in the know when it comes to Manchester clubs. Rob, I find this quite interesting how this came about, because some United fans went to his house to protest, as you do, went to the pub. He found out they were going to protest, met them at the pub, chatted to them. They secretly recorded it, and here we are.
Well, yeah, in a nutshell, that's it. You know, they did. A group of fans wanted to protest at his house. They met to meet and gather in the pub. Richard Arnold found out. He went down to head them off, to talk to them, to kind of give them a chance to wear their views, to give his side of the story. Obviously, the way the world these days, it's been secretly filmed and ended up all over social media. And now we're in a situation where you've got the CEO half defending the owners and half criticising them, talking about transfers and transfer policy in the future. And it's just a symptom of where this club is at the moment. You know, there's an awful lot of frustration on all sides, from the fans, from the club, everywhere. You know, simply put, because they're not winning.
It's a sentiment that a lot of fans obviously have been saying for a while, the mess that the club is in. What struck you from these clubs the most that maybe surprised you coming from the United CEO?
I think that the most surprising thing is that there was a little bit of criticism of the owners. It wasn't explicit, and you know, it didn't go as far, obviously, as some United fans would have liked. But there was an acknowledgement that there is something wrong there. And that's really the first time that we've heard a United executive talk in that way. And obviously he's felt a little bit more free, perhaps because it's in an informal setting. I don't think it'll give fans an awful lot of hope that the Glazers are about to sell up. Mm. You know, he did say that they were aware of the protests that had happened last year and continued throughout, but they weren't particularly scared of that. The one thing he did seem to suggest was that if United fans targeted sponsors, the sponsors that attached themselves to Man United and pumped the money into United, that maybe something would happen there. But you know, this wasn't certainly something that, you know, Arnold's sitting there and saying that you're on the right track, keep going and they're going to sell up. But again, it was a little bit surprising. There was a little criticism because, as I say, it's the first time that we've heard that from United executives.
But he also stated, of course, that they've spent £1 billion. So why so critical of owners that have invested that sort of money?
Yeah, I mean, with regards to that, it is a bit of a double-edged sword because they have spent more than £1 billion on transfers alone in the last 10 years. And that is in line with the likes of City and Chelsea. On the other side of that is that United fans have seen the Glazer family take out dividends for themselves, at different stages. We can all see that when the accounts get published, and United fans will say that that's all very well when the club are winning and are successful. But when the club aren't winning, and they want to see more investment, why would the Glazers then continue to take money out? Both sides of that point are valid. No one's suggesting that the Glazers haven't invested in Man United, that they've pumped an awful lot of, well, not of their own money, but they've had money there to spend on transfers. That said, you know, United fans are looking at this and going, well, we're not winning anything. We need more investment. We need better players. We need better training ground. We need a better stadium. Why are you continuing to take money out? So you can see both sides of that argument.
It's just a mess everywhere, isn't it?
Well, it's a business, and business people want to take their dividends, but it's not a normal business. It's a football business. Fans see it a little differently to the normal corporate world. And when there's not the success that this club has aspired to and has, you know, produced over the years, and certainly in the last, not so much the last 7 or 8, but the previous 15 or 20 before that, then there's a frustration that, you know, in fans' eyes, I think, that people shouldn't be taking money out of the club when there's little success. So business owners and fans see it a different way. What we do know is we have a new manager who will need a really, really good budget. We've just seen Man City sign the best striker, arguably young striker on the planet. We've seen Liverpool sign another up-and-coming youngster from Portugal, 22-year-old, for big money. And all we've got from United at the moment is a CEO going down the pub and being recorded. It's, I think, frustrating from a fan's perspective. If you're Man United, there's no quick fix to seeing them being challenging and, you know, how far up the top four next year. That could change in the summer, by the way, if they have some really good transfer targets and they're able to pull it off. But yeah, I'm all for people at club mixing with fans and talking to them, but sometimes going down the pub and just having it out with some punters is not always the best thing to do.
At the same time, while I support fans protesting, I draw the line at going to somebody's house where he has his family there. So Richard Arnold, I think, as much as you can be critical of him of meeting fans down the pub, I think shows I applaud him in this instance for kind of getting his family out of that firing line, and he now has to put himself front and centre. At the same time, though, despite the dividends that the Glazers may take, I see nothing wrong with what he said. He's absolutely right. They have spent more money than anybody else in Europe. Manchester United are further away from the top two right now than they were 12 months ago, and there has to be somebody to answer for that. The owners put the money up, but you trust in other people to spend it. And when you put that kind of money and see your team regress, then you do question, well, what next? And if you spend that money and regress, now you're trying to catch up. Mm. But you also have to invest in the future. It's a business, and it's a balancing act. And he's saying that we need sponsors to come on and do that. I don't see that as being at all egregious, at all dishonest. That's the reality of business, not just football business. That's the reality of business.
How does this sit with the fans hearing Richard Arnold saying these sort of things, Rob?
Well, I mean, it's not gone down particularly well, to be honest. I mean, we've only heard snippets of it. You know, there are only little bits and bobs of videos that have come out. The fans who were actually there seem to suggest that lots of it was quite scripted. You know, lots of PR speak, lots of corporate speak, and that's exactly what they don't want. They want someone to sit in front of them and be completely honest about the state of the football club because they're worried. They're worried about this summer. Obviously, they're worried about being so far behind City and Liverpool, but they're also worried about the future. You know, they've seen Liverpool go, you know, years and years and years without a title before they won one a couple of seasons ago. And the worry is that, you know, United had that great spell of success under Sir Alex Ferguson, but now could go sort of 20, 30 years without a title because there's no long-term plan. I think a lot of United fans, you know, will applaud Richard Arnold for having the courage to go down to the pub and to talk to these fans. But lots of what's been said has worried them even more, really. They want to see real action. For a lot of this last 10 years, they've been told to have faith that things are going to get better without actually seeing any real evidence of that. And they're being told to have faith again. And that's what they don't want to do. They want to see real results. They want to see players come in this summer. They want to see the new manager backed. And they want to see success. Until they see that, they're not going to believe anything that the club say.
Of course, they've been heavily linked to Frankie de Jong over the summer. Barcelona may be looking to offload him to help their finances. Where do United stand on the potential signing of the Dutch international, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly top target. Ten Hag has come in and said that he wants to strengthen the midfield. Obviously, De Jong is a player that he knows well from Ajax. You're right, Barcelona are looking to sell him, that they've got their own financial problems that they need to solve, and they need to raise money for their own business that they want to do in the summer. I think ultimately this is one that looks like it will get done eventually. United are desperate to sign him. Barcelona are desperate to sell. At the moment, there is a little bit of a standoff in terms of fee. United don't want to blow a massive portion of their budget on one player. Barcelona want to get the highest value that they possibly can because they don't want to sell a load of other players to have to raise money for the summer. So it may be one that's drawn out. We're told that United and Barcelona are talking as we speak to try and get a compromise over the fee. And, hopefully at some stage for United anyway, that this one gets done, because the longer this drags on, the longer it goes without a signing, the fans are just going to get more and more frustrated.
I was just going to ask Rob a quick question, bearing in mind what Richard Arnold has said, Rob, and the money might be a little bit tighter than normal. Do you know if Ten Hag's made any decisions, or the club are hawking around any of the current players to try and raise some of these finances?
Yeah, I mean that's certainly going on. I mean, you'll know that they've saved a lot on the wage budget with Pogba leaving, and Jesse Lingard, Mata, Matic, the likes of those players have all gone. But there are also players currently still in the first team squad who are all available for transfer. Dean Henderson is one of those. Eric Bailly, Anthony Marshall is another. In an ideal world, United would raise a little bit of money from selling those fringe players. The problem is, again, though, that the way United have been run over the last 10 years, all these players are on massive long contracts with huge wages. So the likes of Anthony Marshall, who, on the face of it, is a very talented boy, probably, worth 50 or 60 million on the open market. United just aren't going to get that for him. He had a poor loan spell at Seville. He's on a huge contract and massive wages at United, and no one's going to pay that. So they're looking to sell him or loan him. There's not much of a market for these players.
Rob Dawson, thank you very much for joining us for the first time. Hopefully we'll speak more throughout the summer. Meanwhile, more of this, I'm sure, on the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast. Special guest is Mark Ogden. The latest episode drops on Monday. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Rumours suggesting that Sebastian Haller could be leaving the Eredivisie.
West Ham, Sebastian Haller.
And heading to Borussia Dortmund. Gab back with us. Gab, what can you tell us about the possibility of this deal?
Well, a lot of people suggesting this deal's about done. They're talking 35 million euros, plus I think up to 3 million in bonuses. I don't know, man. Like, he turns 28. I think on Wednesday. It sounds like a lot of money, but obviously they have a big Erling Haaland-shaped hole. And I think the way they look at it, all right, Haaland's gone, Adeyemi and Sebastian Haller are back in. We've replaced one guy with two guys, and between them we can make up the gap. I don't think Edin Terzic would have green-lighted this if this wasn't the guy he wanted.
Well, Borussia Dortmund kick off their campaign with a great-looking tie against Bayer Leverkusen. That's on the weekend of August 16, 17. The season kicks off on the Friday, Eintracht Frankfurt against the defending champions Bayern Munich. Every single one of these games, once again, available on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Frank is back, as is Gav. Craig and Shaka, of course, here as well to answer your tweets on Extra Time, which is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. Craig and Shaka here with us. We also welcome in Gav and Frank. Frank, I noticed during the show, is your face okay, mate?
No, never been okay.
My face?
Yeah.
Never been okay, my face.
No, but, no, but you've kind
no,
of... You've
I got... have some bruises well, here.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, how did you get bruises there? What
yeah, I had a surgery. I had an eye surgery last week, 10 days ago.
So oh, wow.
It's okay, it's getting out.
What did they do to you, Frank?
Yeah, but I'm fine.
You okay?
Nothing to clear up, you know, some stuff above my eyes to not become a cancer.
Oh, here we go. Voila. Good. Oh, good stuff. Right then.
Good stuff.
They
didn't know what to say there.
Well, that's jolly good, isn't it? Good well stuff. Done, everyone.
Well done, I love the guy.
Ah, who looks like the idiot now? For Craig, will Liverpool be serious title contenders with Mane gone? Please bring back Craig's boiling point. We miss it.
Oh, so do I. Yeah, the answer is yes.
Don't miss are. It.
No.
You don't miss the point. Yeah, yes, that's extra
that was,
work.
That was the most talking so do I I've ever heard. Yeah, I've said too.
Yeah, there's no reason why not. I mean, yeah, he was a big player for them. They brought in a guy who, on the face of it, looks as if he can score goals. Big, strong guy. Scores, we've talked about it, outside the box, inside penalties, attacks the ball. Might not happen for him early on. They've got a guy called Roberto Firmino who had a bit of a very average season for him. But he can still go in there. Luis Diaz, Mo Salah, Diego Jota. So they still have a very good five front players to pick from with the new addition. So the answer would be yes, I would say.
Gab, what's a transfer that you thought was highly improbable but ended up happening? Every transfer you say is going to happen, Gab.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, off the top of my head, I think I certainly did not expect Cristiano Ronaldo to go back to Manchester United in the way that he did. It's obvious that, you know, Juventus were in his final year of his contract, that they were shopping him around, they were willing to let him go, to claw back some of those funds. I just didn't expect Manchester United to do the deal on the last day of the transfer window when, you know, Juventus were open to letting him go as early as May. I still do not understand why, you know, it took Manchester United and Ronaldo's people kind of 3 months to work out this deal. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I just didn't, I just still, to this day, I would love, you know, maybe they could have asked, I guess they had a lot of stuff to ask Richard Arnold about.
Yeah.
And maybe he wasn't necessarily across it, but to me that remains one of the big mysteries. Not so much why did you sign Ronaldo, we know why you did, but why did you wait until the last day of the transfer window to sign him when, you know, he was available from May?
Oh, producer Pete wants me to remind you that said David Luiz would never go to Chelsea, Gab. But I won't do that to you. That's not a very nice thing to do, is it, in extra time?
Well, you know what? No, no, no. I'm sorry. I think I can reveal. I think statute of limitations has passed, right? I spoke to Chelsea's then technical director, who said, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah.
I won't sanction it. I don't think he should come back.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen. And then maybe somebody else above it made the decision. I don't know. Maybe he was lying to me. Who knows?
There you are. Take that, Pete. Right. Best goal, save of your career.
What?
Best save of your career, Shaq.
One of two. Steve McManaman, Newcastle against Liverpool, St. James's Park. That would have been in 95. Or playing for West Ham at home to Villa. What was his name again? Played for Arsenal.
Robert Pires.
No.
Who were you playing against?
Against Villa. When from
Paul Merson.
Paul Merson.
Right.
One of those two.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
What did you do?
I saved it.
Yeah.
Well, you did.
Yes.
Hey, you did your job.
Yeah. I saved them really,
and you want,
really
and you want
well.
A pat in the back for that?
I didn't write your tweet. Somebody asked us to write your tweet.
You're supposed to save them.
Best goal of your career, Craig.
Too many of them.
Pat yourself on the back now, sir. That's real. Do your job.
A lot of goals from outside the box.
Anfield. Frank, best goal of your career?
Penalty.
Definitely. My header in the final of the World Cup when I scored the first goal. Oh no, that was Zidane. That was amazing. Sorry.
Come on, dude.
No, seriously, the last shot of the game against Leicester, 90th minute, and we won 1-0. 30 yards away, top corner, bye-bye, 1-0, Frank Leboeuf.
Bye-bye.
Humble Frank.
He actually said that as the goal went in as well.
Yes.
Thank you. 1-0 Frank Leboeuf.
Frank and Gab, which US cities are you interested in going to during the 2026 World Cup? I know Gab probably says Philly more than any other city.
Yeah, obviously I want to go to Philly. That's a given. I'd be going there even if they weren't hosting a World Cup game. I am interested, just because people have talked it up so much and I've never been, to check out the new stadium in, not so new anymore, I guess, the new stadium in LA.
The SoFi Stadium. Meanwhile, Frank?
Of course, I would love to go back to LA, where I lived almost 10 years. I don't know if there is there are games in Chicago. Tell me.
No games in Chicago. No. But you can still go there.
Okay. We love to go to Chicago. So can you do something about that or not?
We can ask them to move games here if you like.
No problem.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Off
thank
to Chicago.
Craig.
We'll ask. There you are. For the panel, right, Colin, Craig, in their prime.
Panel, not me.
Which striker? Well, you can answer this. You haven't answered one yet. Start, drop or bench? In a World Cup final, Van Persie, Van Nistelrooy, Bergkamp.
Ooh.
Start, drop or bench, yeah?
Yes.
I'm starting Bergkamp.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm benching Van Nistelrooy and I'm dropping Van Persie.
Are you?
Correct.
Mm. You're not in agreement?
Yeah, same. Yeah? All three.
Yeah? You agree, Frank?
I agree, totally agree.
Oh, well, there we are. Gab, may as well ask you as well.
I'm not a fan of Dennis Bergkamp, but he's better than the other two, so yes, I will go on. I will join the other guys.
What's Dennis Bergkamp ever done to you, Gab?
Or Van Nistelrooy, Van Persie, for that matter.
Yes.
Listen, I have max respect for his talent. I just, as a player and the way he came across in interviews, I prefer Robin Van Persie out of the three, followed by Van Nistelrooy, followed by Bergkamp. Wait, it doesn't have to have a logic, right? We could have a personal preference. You know, some people like pineapple on pizza. Some people do not, right?
Nobody
You're asking
likes
to be
pineapple.
All zen and tolerant about this. I am.
Have you had a run-in with him?
I feel there's some sort of
going on.
I never had a run-in with Dennis Bergkamp. The few times I've spoken to him, he was perfectly lovely. There's just something about him, the way he walked around the pitch, like he owned it, that kind of like, you know, Aryan look that he had. It doesn't work for me. Like, I look at somebody like Van Nistelrooy, and obviously he had the injuries, he worked back from it. He looked like he was always working. Van Persie, I remember Van Persie way back before he even came to England when he was playing for Feyenoord. I saw this ridiculous game, I think it was against Borussia Dortmund, where he was phenomenal. I just never fell in love with Dennis Bergkamp, the way you obviously have.
No, I'm not a particular fan of
anyone or anything.
No, any of them above the others. I just now you're wrong, golf.
There you are.
Pizzas.
Golf and pizzas and red wine.
Holidays. Not top 10 goals. No. The only thing is, depends where the World Cup final would be played, whether Dennis could play.
Well,
he wouldn't travel on certain.
I know.
And transportation.
Yes.
So that was a problem. Anyway, I won't hold that against him.
Meanwhile, Gab, we talked about this yesterday. Do you agree with Scaroni's comments that Serie A is like Serie B to Europe's top leagues?
Well, I actually read the original interview that he gave, and I got the context around it. And he's basically talking about one aspect specifically, which his club obviously has a tremendous interest in. And he's talking about stadiums, and he's talking about facilities. And Milan, together with Inter, want to build a new state-of-the-art stadium because he feels that, you know, Serie A has fallen behind in terms of stadiums and facilities with the rest of Europe. And he's 100% correct, and there's a lot of reasons for that, bureaucracy and red tape and all that stuff. Have they fallen behind on the pitch? Yeah, obviously they've fallen well behind the Premier League. I think they've probably fallen behind La Liga as well. But, you know, I know that quote got so much attention, but he is talking, if you read the original interview, he is talking specifically about stadiums and, you know, the need for spectacle and so on. And you need to have the stadiums to do that so that, you know, then you've got the revenues and then, you know, you can attract Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo and whatever else. Although, presumably, he's talking about young Messi and young Cristiano Ronaldo.
Shaka, do you think Sancho would ever consider following his Trinidadian roots and come play for us? If he isn't favoured in the England team.
Hasn't he already played for England?
Yes.
Yes.
He can switch, can't he?
No.
No? Didn't Diego Costa switch, didn't he? Brazil to Spain?
I don't know.
Yeah, of course he did.
No, he can't switch.
Oh, God.
You can't switch if you've played an official.
Laporte,
but you can't do that.
Can't play the bloody Euros for England.
No, Laporte was never capped for France. He was called up for France and then he got injured. For Spain, but he was called up and then he got injured. Yeah, no, I think that's a different case. But Chaka, is Jadon Sancho related to? It was Brent Sancho hair viciously pulled by that evil Peter Crouch, right?
That's right. That was Brent Sancho, and as far as I'm aware, they are not related.
Played with Brent Sancho at Dundee. I told you that.
Trinidad's not that big a place, and they have the same last name.
Wasn't very long.
Gavin, just asked Shaka a question, gave me the answer, and you told him it's not the right answer.
No, but it's.
Is Dad corrected?
This switching countries drives me nuts anyway.
Right.
Honestly, it just drives me nuts. I don't agree with
what doesn't drive you nuts?
Golf, red wine, holidays.
I don't even have the answer. Even if you play in a friendly match, whatever it is,
right.
He shouldn't. I mean, come on. But he has played
right
in the Euros, amongst other competitive games. So it's a moot point.
To Gab.
We don't answer moot points.
Oh, right. To Gab, what's the most cringeworthy interview you had and why is it Dennis Bergkamp?
It was not Dennis Bergkamp. He was perfectly fine.
Who's the worst person you interviewed?
I wish I hadn't brought this up. I do not dislike Dennis Bergkamp. Let's be very clear about this.
Your worst interview, Gab?
Oh, I've had a bunch, but I'll tell you, okay, this came out really badly for the other person and I felt bad, but given it's David Beckham, I interviewed David Beckham years ago, back when he was promoting, they do this thing, he was promoting his shoe, I think it was Adidas, and basically, it was this thing they used to do at the time where you got 10 minutes and you had to ask about the shoe. And then you could ask one or two like normal questions. So I'm talking to him, the poor guy's been there all day, he's done a bazillion interviews. And he says, I ask him about the shoe, and he says, you know, the most important thing on the football pitch, it's not about what you do on the pitch, it's about how you look and how you feel on the football pitch. And this shoe makes me look good, and this shoe makes me feel good. And to me, that's the most important thing. And I couldn't believe he said this because obviously it makes him seem completely vacuous. And but I played it back on my tape recorder and yeah, sure enough, this is what he actually said. So I could have been really mean and I could have disseminated what he actually said. Instead, I took the time, I happened to know the guy who's looking after him. And I said, listen, this is what David said. I'm pretty sure this isn't what he meant. Does he want to take a mulligan on this and do it over? And the guy said, ooh, yeah, I think he'd like that. So then I got another go around with Beckham.
Oh, nice guy. Nice guy, Gav, is he?
Really not as nice to Dennis Bergkamp. He's not getting another go around, is he? He's just been pummeled.
For Frank,
maybe
yes.
It's just maybe it's Dutch people.
Wow.
Well, the producer.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly.
He's also tried to stitch him up today.
Yes, yeah.
He's got some
sort of... What's up, Frank?
He doesn't like Dutch people, that's it.
Oh, there we go. Good. Take that, Gab.
That's it.
Well, I think you'll find Robin van Persie and Ruud van Nistelrooy are just as Dutch as Dennis Bergkamp.
But you chose Dennis Bergkamp ahead of them and you hate Dennis Bergkamp.
Stop it.
For Frank, yesterday Kasabian invited Peter Crouch up on stage at the Isle of Wight Festival. Have you ever been invited on stage by an artist?
No. No.
No.
No. No. I presented Shania Twain in Marseille. I had the
Frank,
opportunity to,
Frank,
to present her
when
she came for a concert.
What did she say?
Because you're jealous. Because you're envious.
Well, no.
You're envious.
Apparently, she told her friends that she was invited onto stage by Fabian Bartels. Hey, Madison Square Garden.
For sure.
Rod Stewart, Madison Square Garden. Very good.
Not me. The whole team.
Well, you're part of the team.
I'm a cog in the wheel.
That doesn't count.
You were
doesn't
there.
Count.
Why doesn't that count, Frank?
Madison Square Garden, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it doesn't count if the whole team is not only you, you know? I was invited by Gloria Gaynor, the French 98. It doesn't count.
Wow.
All right.
It's a different rules.
Rather aggressive.
Well, I'm not going to go Bergkamp-esque on this. I'm not.
Gav is Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah,
nope.
You?
None? Never.
But no, you must have had somebody in Newcastle.
No.
You just
Paul Mariner was all over, wasn't it? AC/DC, Iron Maiden. Yeah. Oh, he was on stage more than Frank, definitely. Gab,
Stevie, what about Stevie? He'd have to get out of his house, wouldn't he?
Oh, Stevie, I can't remember. Stevie's got a story about someone that he went to see, but he got very angry.
Who was that group that they went to see that nobody knows?
I don't know.
Was upset with us because he said they were super famous. Remember?
But he said he went to Vegas once with Eleanor and the guy we were singing, I can't remember, maybe Sinatra, not Sinatra, Neil Diamond just kept putting the microphone out to the crowd to sing like the classic songs. They're in the, he's like, I'm not here to hear everybody else.
Got very angry about that.
Right, Gav, how do you feel about featuring in the Pogmentary while Jules didn't? Must be a source of pride.
I have not, you know what? I need to catch up with the Pogmentary. I genuinely did not know that I was in it, but it is a massive point of pride that I'm in it and Jules isn't for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So I will bring it up. I do have to point out that in Erling Haaland's introduction video put out by Manchester City, while they do have the Gab and Jules logo, you only see Jules and you don't see me for some reason.
Did I hear your voice? I saw the promo for the Pogmentary. Didn't I hear your voice?
Shut up. Apparently I'm in it, yeah.
It's been told. Did you watch the show at the end of the week?
No.
Oh, Craig.
Not
Craig,
supposed to mention.
Craig hates the Pogmentary.
Is he not in it? Is that the problem?
No, he just doesn't like the name. There's something about the name.
It's not the name. And Stevie called it the Pogmentary or something. Seriously?
Right.
Seriously?
Final question.
Pogmentary. I mean, what a...
Craig, what a
nonsense.
Would you rather co-host the next Ballon d'Or with Ruud Gullit, watch all of the Pogmentary series, or be a guest on the Football Americas?
That's tough. Have I got a choice?
Well, that's the whole question. That's the choice.
Well, Ballon d'Or's not doing it for me.
No?
No.
Craig on stage.
We've ruined one of the more people.
Watch for the Pogmentary. Or go on Football
Your
Americas
whole
with
thing.
Seven Hurt.
No, I'd have to go on Football Americas with those two Muppets.
Right. You'd have in Qatar. It's the World Cup one.
In Qatar?
Yeah.
Well, obviously it's a free trip then.
Well, yeah, there you are. Yeah. With Seven Hurt.
I'm not travelling with them.
You have to be with them all the time.
No, not listening to them.
I kind of get the feeling that Football Americans...
I'm not listening to them on a 15-hour flight. I'm not talking about Christian Pulisic and how... Why are you anti-American? No, I'm not doing it.
Football Americans to Craig is like Dennis Bergkamp to Gab.
Well, I don't think it's that strong. I don't think that's not going too far.
I'm not a big fan of that.
Listen, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. You've got this all wrong. I'm a huge fan of Football Americas. I just don't want to be going on there and trying to steal anybody's thunder. It's their gig. And who am I to get involved in it?
There we are.
So I just take a back seat.
Beautiful.
What a noble gesture.
Well, what do you think, Craig? You think noble gesture.
That is it.
We're done. Thank you very much, Gav. Thank you very much, Frank. We will be back tomorrow.
With Dennis Bergkamp.
With Dennis Bergkamp.
and his henchmen.